Jen read a little while ago the resurrection story according to the Luke's version. Luke in the 24th chapter had some things to say about that. And it's interesting that it took the angels to say to them, well, don't you remember that he said that he was going to have to, that the Son of Man was going to have to be killed and put to death, and then after some days would rise again? And then it says in the in Luke about the 24th chapter, the 8th verse, it says, then they remembered his words. And that's what we're going to be addressing today is, what does it take to remember the words of Christ, and what does it mean post-resurrection to remember the words of Christ? Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we have to be reminded. Sometimes we don't understand what it means that resurrection has happened, and what good is that for our lives right here and now, as well as what good is that for our lives into eternity. We have to be reminded. Here's what it means. And so we heard that nice story from Luke's version. The angels talked to them. Then they remembered Jesus' words. And then I have to go back to some of Jesus' words. I hope that's okay. But in the 14th chapter of the book of John, I'm just going to read some of Jesus' words. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And then 14, the 25th verse, he says, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Those words alone would be good to remember. Post-resurrection, what does it mean that we don't need to be troubled or frightened? It's that God is in charge. The last vestige of mystery for humanity is death, and Christ conquered it and takes us through the door of death now. What once appeared to be a wall now is a door into another existence. But Jesus went on, you heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And then he goes on, and now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it occurs, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And then he just says, rise, let's be on our way. That Jesus said that, and of course, in the upper room, in what the setting of what we recognize as the Last Supper, Maundy Thursday, his last gathering, his traveling instructions to his disciples, his last notes of, I'm not going to be here anymore, but boy, good luck, you guys. But he talks about giving of the Advocate, and that the greater things than these will you do, because I am giving you the Advocate, and my Father will make sure that you are not abandoned. Whatever your situation is, whatever your predicament in life is, you will not be abandoned. And that's the promise of Jesus in those words. And so when Jesus tells Mary, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers. And they were talking about the disciples in that context, but we could almost say go to the brothers and sisters, but most of the sisters were already there. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And if they remembered the words of Jesus, if they were given cause to remember what he said, they will remember that he promised them the Advocate that would never leave them or forsake them, the Advocate that would connect them with God in untold ways and give them the power that is unimaginable. And so it's important that we don't hold on to, here's another way to put it, it's important that we get away from the crash scene or the manger. It's important that we get away from little baby Jesus And we go to Christ, crucified, died, and resurrected, and ascended to his Father in heaven. Because if all we have is the incarnation of Jesus, then we miss that whole piece of his words about, and all the promises about what he will do then after all is fulfilled. And we don't want to miss that. It's too good. It's too much. Don't hold on to me on earth. I must go so that you have the power even of God the Father in heaven. And that's big stuff. And so we're reminded, we got to get away from Christmas is great because the incarnation is very important. And if, and in fact, the crucifixion connects us with Christmas. When Jesus says, I thirst, and the gospel writers say, I thirst, and they put it in the gospel writing, they don't do that just because they needed more fill in the document. They put it in there because we need to know that he thirsted because he's human, that he has bodily needs, that it hurt, that he was parched, that he had some needs. He was like you and me. He wasn't just a body. a mirage. And really it was all God, and there was no pain felt. If we think that's what it is, we lose the power of this whole act. I thirst connects us with the baby who came out of the womb of a human mother and who would then grow up and be nurtured and taught and would become then in full knowledge of what God was expecting of him to do. And so we have to let go of the human Jesus. We need to let go of the Jesus on earth at some point in time so that we can live fully into all the promises of that Christ who offers us all the fulfillment of those promises only when he has ascended and sits on the right hand of the Father and the advocate has been given to us and connects us. Easter is a celebration. It's a little bit of a preliminary celebration of Pentecost that will happen on May 15th. Because that's how it is in the book of Acts. But we can't appreciate Easter, resurrection people, without the advocate, without the promises of Jesus, who says, hey, don't worry. We're going to keep working with you, even though I'm not going to be here. And in fact, I can work with you better if I'm not here. And so, a writer named Sam Keen, he's a spiritual writer, writes a lot of great stuff and all this. Some of you have probably read some of his stuff. But he says that it's so difficult to talk about what resurrection means and what good it is for us. So he said it's more poetic than prose. And so he puts it this way, that resurrection is like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon. Now that one we've heard before in the whole butterfly image. But how about waking up after a nightmare? Is that cool or what? Waking up after a nightmare. Have you ever woke up after a nightmare in the middle of it and you wake up and it's just like, oh, and you take a breath and it's like, oh, that was not real. Whew, boy. And you might be able to go to sleep fairly easily then as long as you know that it wasn't real. Or how about now, some of you younger people might not remember this. Some of us oldsters, we might appreciate this more. Do you remember when the picture tube had to warm up and your TV gradually came into focus? Sam Keen must be about your age because he talks about that. And then he says it's like a joint returning to its place. If you've ever dislocated a shoulder, an elbow, or a hip, it's like a bone. If that's ever happened to you, or you've been around when that happened and somebody said, put that back in, you know what a relief it is when it pops back in, but also what pain it takes to get it there. Or how about energy surging up after a long illness? That isn't so quick as putting a bone back in joint, but suddenly one day you wake up and you realize, hey, I have some energy. I'm ready to do something today. Can you relate? Resurrections happen in very subtle ways sometimes. Or how about shedding an old skin? That's hard for me to imagine. Or having cataracts removed. Speaks for some of you, doesn't it? Resurrection is like having cataracts removed. You've told me stories of that. You've told me about how it feels to have clarity again in the vision and that the fog, the mist dissipates and disappears and suddenly things are clear. That's resurrection happening right in our own lives. And that might be one of the images for resurrection. Or how about an ember bursting into flame? Takes a little wind maybe, a little advocate, a little spirit, a little breeze, but it can burst in. Kids, how about, does it work if we say that resurrection is kind of like a long day at school and then recess? Recess? Yeah, recess is fun. Is it possible that we would use recess and we would look at recess as resurrection? It's the release that we feel. Now, some of us parents don't make us move too quick and don't make us run, so that might not work for us. Resurrection happens in life all around us as we get new vitality, new energy, new joy. President Obama recently spoke at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Now, the occasion for this was that several Americans were posthumously honored as righteous among the nations. And it's an honor given to non-Jews who did neat things, heroic things, during the Holocaust. Okay? And so it just so happens on this occasion, and I suppose they do this every year regularly, and this year because the president speaks, we get it in the news or something, I don't know. But anyway, one of those honored was a Sergeant Roddy Edwards, posthumously, of course. And Roddy Edwards was a World War II POW in a German concentration camp who refused to tell betray to the Nazis who among their group were Jews. Who in this camp were Jews? Because they wanted fellow prisoners to turn people in. And he wouldn't do it. They estimate that he saved 200 Jews, taking whatever the Nazis handed out, rather than betray these people. Another one honored was a French teacher from Goshen, Indiana. She was a French teacher from Goshen who went to southern France in 1941. Her name was Lois Gundon, and she was on a Mennonite service project, and Mennonites still have Mennonite service projects. She went down there to start a school, and it ended up being a haven of safety for Jewish children during the war. And she was honored with this award, Righteous Among Nations. To do the right thing, regardless of what it will cost you. That's resurrection. That's the power of the advocate. That's remembering what Jesus promised in the power that will be given and awarded and present to us, and then living in it. There's a story about a woman in Australia who showed up at her own funeral. Yeah. She was an immigrant from Burundi, and her husband had hired some thugs to abduct her and kill her. His mistake was that he paid them before they did it. And so she, being a nice person, made friends with her abductors, who eventually let her go free. They had their money. And with her pastor, she set up her funeral. The bereaved father, husband came, to his wife's funeral, and she said, "Hi, honey." Resurrections happen. Not all of them like that. Only God can work some of them. And I'm sure the husband, who got 9 years, by the way, 9 years, just 9 years. It was in Australia. I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have gotten any more here. Resurrections happen. God is at work in amazing ways in this world. The Apostles' Creed states, and we affirm every time we use it, every time we say it, that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, and so we do. We do believe that. Resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. And we believe in the resurrection here and now. We believe that God is not just confined to the heavenly realms, is not just sitting on the Father's right hand advocating for us, but the advocate has come to exist here on us. And so Jesus, just as Jesus told Mary, don't hold on to me here. Let me go so that your life can be even bigger and greater than it has been. So that perhaps by some small way, there might be more of Sergeant Roddy Edwards and Lois Gundons in the world. More people who have the willingness to allow Christ to work through them and in them, that resurrections might happen in amazing, amazing ways. Let's pray. Lord, we are your people, and you are ours. And we thank you that you have given the advocate and promised the advocate so that we're not confined to this life and this world either. We thank you for the resurrections that happen. Right in this room, we have evidence of it and stories of resurrection. We also have many who hope that and believe that all of those promises of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting are absolutely true, that there will be reunions in that place, in that time, in that realm that we can only imagine. But right now, send us forth by the power of that advocate to be your people and give witness. For we are Easter people. We are
Easter people.
Amen. Okay. We do have a time of offering today. Just a little bit of an intro for us today is that this is our logo for the church. After the Healthy Church Initiative, and we have our vision statement, which talks about a challenge, actually. It says, First United Methodist Church provides value to people in their journey of faith by meaningful corporate worship, continual growth through small group, and personal challenge, mission by service in the church and the community. It says, our people will be deeply rooted, branching out, bearing fruit. Can you say with me those last three phrases? Deeply rooted, branching out, bearing fruit. Let's try that again. Deeply rooted, branching out, bearing fruit. And we celebrate that, actually. Now, that takes a variety of different forms in how that is lived out in our midst. And bearing fruit means different things as well. But I would just like to lift up today that we do have a lot to celebrate. And you might, I don't know if anybody remembers, but this church has sent a number of people into a called apart ministry. Now, in baptism, we all have ministries. We all are called to give testimony to the resurrection. But some are called out to go beyond that or to do it in a special way. Bill Johnson. Anybody remember Bill Johnson? Okay. By the hands that raised, I would guess that was a while ago, but Bill Johnson came out of this church, and David Swinton, more hands will go up. Alec Amoson might have a few more hands go up. And was it this week or last week? We had a little gathering of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, and they have affirmed that we add to that list. And they have affirmed Melinda Stonebreaker as one to be added to that list of people that would go from this church into ministry. And so that's just the first step. In the United Methodist Church, however, if you're going to go into some kind of called apart ministry, you have to give evidence of that in a local church. So the Staff Parish Relations Committee is just the first step. Beyond that, a church conference now must be scheduled, and everybody gets to vote on whether or not we've seen evidence. Does she give evidence of the resurrection? Does she give evidence of Christ alive among us? And does she have gifts to relate that to people in a variety of ways? And so watch your newsletters. I don't know if we'll get that all set up before the newsletter goes to print Tuesday, but come to church and we'll send it out email. We'll get the word around when that church conference is scheduled. You all get to say yes or no. Now, that's very different in the United Methodist Church. It's not just an academic qualification. If that were the case, you and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But it's first, the wisdom of the peers, you people, where those gifts and graces might be evidenced. And so, as we think about Easter and how do we give testimony to the resurrection. She has mentioned a couple times that one of the prayers the family uses is the Wesley Covenant prayer, and I think it would behoove us to read this in the context of Easter, in the context of Christ crucified and resurrected. So let's affirm together our covenant to give witness to the risen Christ. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your hope and service. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant we made on earth, let it be made also in heaven. Amen. And so that is our prayer individually, each one of us, that we allow the Christ to do with us what gives him glory and honor. With that, we will not ask anyone to be nailed to the cross today. Your offering can be your life and your livelihood and how you give witness in whatever ways possible. If it fits in the plate, put it in there. If not, some way or another, find it to give it to God.